ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this privilege to share. I'm indeed grateful for it. Like Pastor had said, this is the third session in the series. And I want to believe that, you know, we've been following and we've been reflecting on these sessions. The whole idea, as Pastor has mentioned, of this session is to steer us up, to begin to take our place in the things that God has designed and has proposed for us. The desire of God is that as believers, we bring to bear, we bring to fore, you know, the scriptures that says, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth. The only way the will of God can be done on the earth is when we as believers take our position. That's how we enforce and we create that influence on the earth. And I would like to start this morning, you know, please, can you put up the presentation? I'd like to start this morning by just showcasing and talking about three entrepreneurs that started their business about the same time, you know, who made significant impact. Their brands we know, but the kind of impact that they make because of their faith in God is so significant and so massive. Please, just flip. I have three. I'm just going to speak through them one after the other. The first person is Mary Kay. I mean, for the women in the house, a lot of people know Mary Kay Cosmetics, right? Mary Kay Cosmetics was founded by a woman named Mary Kay. You know, that's her name. You just took the brand name from her name. And she happened to be someone who got married at the age of 17. Yeah, you know, so at that age, her husband was serving in the army, but what she was doing was that she started selling books. Door to door, she was selling books, you know, gathering some funds, and that was how she started. Then eventually she realized that she had this interest, you know, in beauty products. Then she started selling, you know, she joined Stanley Home Products to start selling with them. And at this time, there was no specialized cosmetics, you know, business operator. There were businesses that tried to do so many things, you know, but there was nothing specialized about it. So she joined Stanley Home Products and she was selling. In fact, she sold to a point where she was supposed to literally be the CEO of the business. But what was happening was that because she happens to be a woman, she was often overlooked for promotion. You know, she was overlooked for promotion. And that was what really frustrated her. That how can I be here making this much money for the company? And instead of you to promote me, you promote my male counterpart. You know, she decided to step out, you know, that she wasn't going to do that again, that she wants to start her own business. And the first idea that came to her mind, she discussed with her husband, was to write book. Remember that she was selling books door to door before she joined her organization. So she thought to herself that she will write book on how women can thrive better in business and all that. She started doing her research and started putting together the materials. And eventually, the plans that she put together to share with women became the bedrock of her own business plan. You know, but I mean, unfortunately, she lost her husband around that time. And she had to start the business eventually with her son. And the whole capital that they had was $5,000. And see, don't look at $5,000 with the way you look at it now. Because when you think $5,000, you are looking at conversion at $495. We're talking about $5,000 some 60 years ago, which by the time you are even converting, at the time that Nigeria gained independence, was going to be insignificant, just about 5,000 naira, right? At that time, you know, she set out and she started with that. She had the idea that women can be beautified. And she started gaining the idea of how to mix those things together, putting it together. And today, Mary Kay is a $3 billion company in terms of revenue. Their last year revenue was $3 billion. This was a business started by a woman. They have over 3.5 salespeople all over the world. The whole idea of multi-level marketing was her scheme, was her idea. She originated the idea of multi-level marketing. So even till today, it's still very operational, right? But one thing that stands out about this woman is the fact that her company's philosophy was strongly based on her Christian faith. She was someone who knew the Lord, and she bring to fore her faith in God in everything that she did. She was able to influence the women. In fact, as far as her generation was concerned, she was one of the most powerful women in her generation. And there's a quote I just speak from, you know, from so many. He said, God has blessed us because our motivation is right. So what's your motivation as a business owner? What's the reason why you're going into business? You know, if the reason why you're going into business is to show to other people, you know, to show what you've got, to show your wealth, to show all of those things, you know, it's not right. It's not a cool reason as far as God is concerned. He said, He knows I want women to be the beautiful creatures He created. You know, all she needed to do was just to start. She's a believer. She had the idea. There was a system that frustrated her, that more or less fanned the flame in her. And she got out and she started. And today, see what we're celebrating about her. Her business today, it's a major business in the U.S. Please, can you flip to the next slide? Sam Watson is another person, a believer that started a business, and his faith, you know, was seen in everything that he did, literally. Sam Watson was an elder and a Sunday school teacher in his church. You know, he started this whole Walmart, you know, at the age of 28. And the way he started was very interesting. He decided that he wanted to start a variety store. I mean, we are familiar with ShopRite, with Just Right, Eba, Not Today, as we have them. They don't used to be like that, right? They were specialized stores where you get different items. But he decided I wanted to have, you know, something that is a variety store. And the way he started was to purchase the very first store, you know, with $5,000 that he saved and $20,000 that he loaned, from his father. And guess what? Father-in-law, rather. And guess what? By the time he started managing, you know, he bought the first one, he started managing that place, and what happened was that he decided that he was going to be selling at a price that was cheaper than every other price. The whole idea that he had was that if people are able to get products at a cheaper amount, they won't have to travel a long distance to go and buy their groceries or their items. That was just his own logic. And it was premised on, if I can sell volume to a lot of people who are not traveling out of my space, out of my locale to go and buy from a faraway distance, I can make more money. And that was how he started. From one store to second store to third store, you know, and all that. And I mean, today, Walmart is worth, in terms of their annual, I mean, the revenue here is even for Q1 2021. The revenue for Q1 2021, $559 billion. This was a business founded by one man 58 years ago. Mary Kay started hers 57 years ago. But the whole idea was that they started. Himself and his wife, they were devoted members of First Presbyterian Church. She was an elder and a Sunday school teacher teaching high school students. and the family made substantial donation. Substantial giving, you know, to the cause. And let's go to the third person. I'm just going to highlight. The third person is Tom Monaghan. You know, this is the founder of Domino's Pizza. For those that like Domino's and, you know, you eat Domino's Pizza a lot and all that. Now, before Tom started the Domino's Pizza business, there were other pizza businesses before he started. But his own idea was that, why can't we get pizza delivered, you know, within a very quick period? Why should people always go in to sit down to eat pizza in a, you know, in a store, in a center? We can actually make pizza and get it delivered to people without them having to sit. That was the concept that he had. And he was going to combine logistics with making pizza, right? By the time he had run the business for about 38 years, by the time he has run it for 38 years, he sold 93% of the business, of his own shares in the business to Bain Capital. Bain Capital is one of the biggest fund management firms, you know, owned by a strategy consulting firm, right, in the world. And at that time, he sold it for $1 billion. This is 1998. Imagine someone selling for $1 billion. And the reason why he did that was that he wanted to devote his time to some other causes. Because when you read through his history, you realize that part of the things that he now began to do at that time was that he set up the Catholic University, the Ave Maria University in Florida. You know, then there was another thing that he did. He set up another investment fund, Ave Maria Investment Fund, for the Catholic. And this was the mission. They were only investing in businesses that we agree to run only by the principles and the teachings in the Bible. So they had the funds, put the funds together, and they were investing in businesses, but the business must never support anything that negates the scripture. So the business must never support anything that supports, you know, maybe abortion or use, I mean, all of those things that they don't believe, you must not support it. Imagine. And what you discover is that a lot of Christian businesses, you know, because he belongs to the Catholic denomination, a lot of, you know, Christian businesses were being funded by this fund. And today, Domino's Pizza today is worth $4 billion in terms of their annual revenue. And you see, I didn't even mention their employees. I'm sure you must have seen it on the slide. They employ 14,400 people as at today. 14,400 people. That's quite significant. That's quite significant. You see, the whole idea is to help us conceptualize what could become what we start for the kingdom. What could become what we start for the kingdom? What could become of it? Because again, when we look at just ourselves as an individual, that if it's about what I want to eat, what I want to drink, you know, your job is okay. Your job is fine. Your job will take care of you. What you will eat, what you will drink. Just to, you know, it's okay. But you see, God wants to bless us and makes us a blessing to the world. God's desire is, I will bless you. And in you, the family of the earth will be blessed. So we are blessed to be a blessing. But when you take a position that is just about you, and not thinking about the blessings that God wants to release through you, there is little to the impact that we can make in our world. And that's why as believers, we must come to that point where we realize that, you see, if I really want to make this impact, this significant impact, then I have to lay my hands upon something. I have to start something. I have to start an enterprise. You know, like Pastor said, there is no way any man can literally become wealthy working for someone. And I want you to understand this thing. We're not taking a position against working for someone. When you start stuff, people will work for you, right? But the whole idea is that as kingdom people that understand the kingdom mandates that we have, the kind of assignment that we have, you know, I was telling us last week about the fact that we must think of creating wealth to sponsor the gospel. Because our limitation in terms of the resource that we control determines how much of the world that we are able to influence. There's another woman, her name is Chen Wang. She's a Taiwanese. You see, the interesting thing about this woman, she actually was a co-founder for HTC Corporation. For those of us that know HTC, maybe you ever use HTC phone. At a time, it was the highest sold phone in the US, HTC. She's a Taiwanese. Guess what? This woman, as she makes the money from her business, she sponsors the gospel. She's one of the biggest givers against anti-LGBTQ in the world. She's one of the biggest givers against it. I mean, just in Taiwan alone, she's given over $400 million to, you know, she has this Faith, Hope, and Love Foundation, you know, that she channels all these resources through to for the different causes and all that, those that have to do with policy, those that have to do with, you know, just in Taiwan alone, she has spent about $400 million countering bills that we support LGBTQ. One person. So we must begin to think about what we can do. That's not talking about the number of schools built, not talking about the number of orphanages built, and all of these things. The reason for doing all of these things, see, when we have an orphanage, for example, that houses, let's just even say 1,000 children. Let's imagine we have an orphanage that houses 1,000 children, and we're feeding them every day. What it means is that we've taken 1,000 children off the street that could have ended up whatever it is, prostitute, whatever it is you can think about, you know. And the most beautiful thing about it is the fact that they are staying within our roof. In the morning, we engage them in prayer. We teach them the way of the Lord, teach them the counsel of God. You know, they emulate our lifestyle. At the end of the day, we have raised 1,000 individuals that we stand for God in their sphere and be able to make impact. You see, but that cannot happen if there is no money. So that's why you must begin to think about beyond the salary that you're earning. You must begin to think beyond just meeting your own immediate need. You must begin to think about building enterprises. So I talked about the things that you must note when it comes to building enterprise. And the first one I mentioned was start with what you have. Start with what you have. I can't overemphasize this. Again, today you are in a paid employment. You know, you can start, just start thinking and praying and asking for God's direction. You see, it is not that after listening to this message, you just go and tender your resignation letter. That's not the idea. The idea is that you start thinking. You see, the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You need to start seeing yourself as an enterprise builder. You need to start seeing yourself in that light. You need to start seeing yourself in that light. Because until you start seeing yourself in that light, God can't bring ideas to you. Because until you become open, that Lord, I'm just waiting for your direction. I need your counsel. I need your light on this thing. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit will start bringing words to you. And as he brings words to you, start acting on them. So start with what you have. It could be an idea. In fact, it can even be that you recognize that there's a particular service that you get, but in a way that you don't like it, and you think you can improve on the quality of service. That can just be the idea. You know, when we teach business in business school or school of entrepreneurship, we talk about the value proposition canvas. And the idea of the value proposition canvas is that you need to identify the pains of the customers. You know, what are the pains of the customers that you're trying to target? And when you identify those pains, then you now look at how can I create value to relieve them of those pains? How can I create value to relieve them of those pains? You know, so you need to begin to think around those things. It could be a product, it could be a service. You see, there is one sure thing on whatever we do. Psalm 1. Please, let's read it. Psalm 1 from verse 1. Because we need to understand that even if it is shit that we decide to sell. How many of you remember Otumba Gaddafi? That man is
is an illiterate. Don't let me qualify the illiteracy. But you see, everywhere President Obasanjo went to for any economic forum during his tenure, he went with this man. Because of the kind of economic value that he commanded by relieving people of, you know, in parties and, you know, shit business is real business. You remember that slogan? Shit money, no despair. Do you understand? You know, again, there is the blessing that we carry. See, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, this thing, it's a consciousness that you must have. If you decide to be importing or to be making pencil and crayon, if that's your area of interest, pencil and crayon, God can command the world to come and buy your pencil and crayon. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God. Remember, you said in, I think, Isaiah 46, verse 10 now, he said, he commands the ravenous bird from the east, a man that will execute his counsel from a far country. Imagine, you see, God can command customers from any end of the earth, from whatever part. God can bring projects from whatever part. You know, I've seen some miracles. And, you know, as much as possible, I don't want to share personal stories and all that. I've seen some miracles. God works wonders in business. But you see, the whole idea is to set out. I remember when I was living my, you know, when I was living fully into business, I told Pastor Ayer about it. Pastor was like, I said, yes, this is it. You know, Pastor blessed me, prayed for me, and, you know, and we set out. I told Brashei then, and Brashei said, don't worry. Once you drop your resignation letter, your first job, I will give it to you. Yes. Eventually, yes, he gave me my first project. As crazy and simple as it was, the first project was, I think it was a 50K project, you know. Then he gave me another one that was about, I think, about 100K. But you see, the point was that there is the understanding of the blessing that I carry. And that was what makes the difference. The understanding of the blessing. The understanding of the blessing. That very year, even though it looks so simple, so on, you know, that very year, at least, I did more than my salary. Do you understand? More than my salary. It was a good way to start. Oh, okay, so independently, you can create your salary. What you were earning working with this top-notch consulting firm, you can also earn by yourself, standing alone. And guess what? It's been amazing. It's been amazing. Don't project for firm in the US, in Canada. It's been amazing. You know, but the whole thing is to stay on God's word. Because God's word is true and it can be depended on. You know, I just said that to make you understand that whatever it is that is the idea that you have, whatever it is that is the thought, where we miss it is when we cast away our confidence. The Bible says that cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. When we lose our confidence in the blessing, that's where the trouble lies. The moment you begin to shiver, you begin to feel, you know, are you sure this is what God is saying? Are you sure this is true in my case? Are you sure? That's where the problem lies. But if you take God's word just take God's word as it is, you're going to see the result. Hallelujah. You know when someone just call you from out of nowhere and just knock your door with a project of about, you're starting your business, someone knock your door with a project of 3 million naira, and you did not market, you did not do anything, and all you're just doing is executing. And all you need to execute the project is just about 600,000 naira. So maybe you have an idea of what the miracles looks like. You know, amazing, amazing stuff that you cannot fathom. But you see, there is that thing that it's important that as believers we must know. That the fact that I'm a believer does not exempt me from doing the right things. So as you've gotten an idea, you've gotten a thought around what to do, the second thing is to research about it. Do findings about it. Research. Do findings. Do findings. Thank God for the internet. You can check for literally anything on Google. There is the LinkedIn where you can connect with people who are already doing stuff in that area. There is the church where you can ask questions and someone can connect it to someone, you know, and all that interesting stuff. So you can ask questions, get insights on that area. So you are buying and selling, you are doing trading. There could be some other places where you can get things at a cheaper quality. You will not know until you research. You won't know how much there is need for that product until you start researching. You can just assume that, oh, there are a lot of people doing this same thing. Are you aware that you can step into some territories where you think there are people providing the service and you realize that people are frustrated by the service currently being provided? They are just waiting for a substitute. But you will not realize until you start exploring. So research around that thing, that idea that God has placed in your heart. Research around it. And what you are doing when you are researching is that you are validating. You are validating to be sure that there is opportunity in that space. You are validating to be sure. Because you see, there are times that as human beings, we could misinterpret the communications of God. I want you to understand this. And you see, that's why we have to be open and vulnerable to God. Even men of God acknowledge that there are times. Remember when Reverend, during the Starfield conference, he was talking about how there are different times word of knowledge will come. You know, thank God for the ones that are accurate. Thank God for the ones that where he makes mistake, you know, he still carries on. He won't stop doing it. There are times that you could actually misjudge or misinterpret a concept or an idea that comes to you. So you feel that, oh, maybe you saw a picture of a building or you saw a picture of people building something up and you think that, oh, maybe God wants you to go and start construction business, you know, and you misinterpret it as that, you know. But when you start reflecting, you start doing your search, you start waiting on God, chewing those things, then you have a better interpretation of that communication. I said that to say, you cannot do business successfully as a believer that is banking on God's word for the success of that business independently of a fellowship with God. Do you understand? You need that fellowship to sustain it. If the boldness you have to start that enterprise is because the word of the Lord says so, the sustenance of that enterprise comes from that relationship. So you get clarity, you get to understand more as you spend time in God's presence. Because you need to get a lot of clarity around your idea. You need to know, you need to be clear. And that's where human effort comes in. God will not bring to you in a revelation how much it will cost to operate the business. He will not bring to you in a revelation what your operation cost will be. He won't bring to you in a revelation, you know, all of those. There are details that will work out as believers. You will be the one to go out to go and check. If you want to open a store somewhere, you will be the one to go and check, to inspect. You can walk all through Harlem looking for a space, you know. And you can use... Just that, no, they know. You know, you can contract it. You can contract it out for someone to search for you. But you see, what I'm trying to say in essence is that there are certain things that we must do. And when you don't know how to do, you must learn how to do it. I mean, things as simple as how do I calculate the cost of my operation? How do I calculate it? Which ones are the fixed cost in my business? That once I incur them, it's going to last me all through the year. Which ones are variable costs? How do I calculate my profit? What is revenue? They are basic things. But you see, you learn those things. You learn the details of the trade or the service you want to provide. You learn them. So it's important that we learn those things. And as you do our research, the third thing that I encourage people to do is develop a business plan. Develop a business plan. Please, believers, let's not start any business without having a business plan. There are templates everywhere, all over the internet. Business plan, business plan. Business plan is simply that guide that shows you how you intend to operate the business, you know, profitably. From what the product will look like, to the things that you will need to make the product, how much it will cost to do the product, how you will market it, the kind of human capital or capacity that you require, the risk attached to the business, the financial analysis. These are all the things that are in the business plan. But guess what? Once you have a good template, it will guide you. It's not something too far-fetched. It will guide you. And if there's anything you don't understand, you can simply ask for help. You can simply ask for help. Hallelujah. You know, there's one of the entrepreneurs that I support. You know, the project was funded by one international organization. And so what they do is that after we've trained them, then they do a local competition. And when they did local competition, you know, when they happen to emerge, you know, as national winners, they do the international. So it happens that these guys that, you know, I supported won at the national level and they got to the international level. And while I was working with the entrepreneurs to get them ready for the international competition, there was another person that his own business is fashion business. This is the person that was going to be a major representative in the international competition is into food, actually baby food, right? But this other person is into fashion. And at the time that he was preparing, I went over our plans and all that, and they thought of, okay, reach out to this person. Just send contact to her. Reach out to this person. Then reach out to the other person that he should review her business plan for her. This is somebody in another industry, you know, sharing or reviewing the business plan of somebody else in another industry. The whole idea is to bring new perspective, you know, to what she's done. And after she did, and we had a final overlook, and she presented it, and interestingly, she emerged as the international winner for that particular. She got $20,000 as a reward. $20,000 in this day conversion. So, you know, it was a good support for our business. You know, but what I was bringing out of that was the fact that somebody in fashion providing idea to the business plan of somebody in food business. So what it means is that there is literally no limit to how much we can learn from people and businesses around us. You might say that, oh, this person is not in this industry, but the person can be using the product. I don't have to be a fashion designer before I share my thoughts around how my clothing feels or how I feel when I get clothing from my tailor. Do you get the picture? So let's be open to, you know, to doing our business plan ahead of our business. And the contribution of different sides that we get is very, very critical. And one thing I also want to add is that after you've done your business plan and you're sure you've crossed your T's, you've dotted your I's, you understand your costs, you understand who exactly you are targeting as customers, you understand which location you think your customers had, you understand what your cost is, you can estimate what your profit will be. You know, you've done all of this analysis. You know, I trust God that maybe on the side we have the forum or opportunity to dive deeper into details of some of these things. You know, but when you've done all of that, and you know you are good, you've prayed, you have relief in your spirit, launch out. Launch out. There is no story about it. Once you prayed and you have that release in your spirit, launch out. Launch out. I mean, this is where the problem lies. There are a lot of people that are employed today that have done the business plan for their business over 5 years ago, but they are still employed. Yes, 5 years ago, some even 10 years ago. But you see, we must avoid the analysis paralysis situation. If God is true and his word can be depended on, you know, you've done all your analysis, you've done, launch out. You know, one of the scriptures that really gave me the confidence when I was launching out was when I look at the story of the three Hebrew boys, and when they decided that they were not going to bow, you know, to the image that was made up, and they said that even if our God does not save us, we are still not going to bow. They were putting God to test, and eventually they were binded up because they refused to bow, and they were going to be thrown into the fire, and the mightiest, the most hefty guys bind them and carry them and drop them in the fire that has been heated 7 times more. The fire was so strong that the guys that threw them there, they were consumed by the fire. But by the time they landed, they were not consumed alongside those guys. They landed. And they didn't just land. The fire consumed the flags and all of that holding them. But they were unhot. The Bible said that eventually when they came out of that place, even the smoke of the fire, the smell of the smoke was not even on their body. I mean, what kind of miraculous, supernatural, amazing God is that? That even at the, even if it's going to take him to come at the last second before the evil will happen, he will save you. Do you understand? It's the God that comes, even if he will come at the last second, he will. So what's the worst case scenario in life? Somebody should die, right? That's the worst case scenario to a man. That one person is dead. That's the worst case scenario on this head. Lazarus died. He died, literally. Died, literally. And he brought him back. See, so it's when we harm ourselves with some of these things that God did, right, on this journey, that's what sustains us. That's what sustains us. That's what sustains us. Launch out. Start. Until you start, you will never see the miracle. Until you start, you will never see the miracle. Until you start, you will never see the miracle. I remember that first year, you know, a friend just calling. We were together in the consulting firm here. You know, he went to Kellogg University to do his MBA. And when he finished in Kellogg, he joined McKinsey and all that. And he just called me all the way from Illinois. Okay, what's up? There is this project too, you know. Have you started that your business? The first question was, have you started that your business? I said, I've started. You know, they said, oh, there's this gig and all that and all that. And before you knew it, that same year, this was even like maybe like 4 months or so into the business, you know. I got that research gig, 1.5. You know, then it was like, wow, 1.5. You know, and things like that. I spent just about 400K to do that, you know, 1.1. Before you know it, there was another one. You see, I'm saying this because, again, there is something about, you know what they call Takuti Jesu? There is something about staying on God's word, irrespective of what that situation is. Irrespective. I've come to a point where I'm just hoping. There was just a call that I got in the course of the week, and it aligns with the prophecy that Pastor has been saying. I'm just open to it. You see, once you get the word, that's what you run with. Your life should be a mystery to people. Do you understand? They should not be able to, you know, there is this man, he's a Zimbabwean, Strive Masiwa. He's a mystery. That man is a mystery. It's a mystery because, see, business school professors will say that he should not be wealthy. They feel his approach to business should not be. Do you understand? I mean, they are confused. I'm giving you firsthand experience, getting insight from a notable business school professor saying that, hey, if you were to be, you know, a judge, you wouldn't have allocated it to him. But you see, the point is that you can't condemn the person that God has justified. Do you understand? You can't. I'm aware that some years back, he got the award for the biggest giver in his ministry. You know, he gets the award for biggest giver. I don't know if they still do the award or something, you know. So for you to have an idea of how much somebody will be giving in an international ministry to get the award of the best individual giver. I'm not saying you should do it for looking for award. I'm just trying to help us see what someone can do. One person. Today, I think he's still the richest man in Zimbabwe. A believer. Launch out. If you never launch out, you cannot imagine the impact that the business can be making. You can never imagine it. And if perhaps you've launched out and you're wondering that, if you are saying launch out to new people and me, I've launched out and the thing is not really looking like it yet. The question is, how much of the scriptures have you brought into that business? You know, it's like someone that has, you know, you have an engine running and to lubricate an engine, you have to put engine oil. The person that has the engine oil, you refuse to go and buy from the person. You choose to use water to lubricate your engine. It's going to be a struggle. The Holy Spirit is the one who has the anointing. He's the one who has the inspiration. He's the one who has the solution. But a lot of believers, we are running our engine without engaging the Holy Ghost. So there is so much struggle. There's so much struggle. I mean, personally, one of my cries is that, Lord, I want to be more yielded. I want to be more aligned. I want to be more aligned. The Bible says that when others are saying there is a casting down, for you there is a lifting up. Is that your reality? If it is not, how are you making it your reality? Do you realize that last year was one of the best years for a lot of businesses? One of the best year. I mean, personally, that's my testimony, really. Last year. But you see, that thing comes by, there is the help. The Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of need. And as believers, we need to lay hold on that scripture. We need to lay hold on it. It's not, you see, God didn't promise us that the journey is going to be a smooth ride. When you go back and check the stories of those people that we look at this morning, there were people that fight through their faith. They fight the fight of faith every day. Fighting the fight of faith every day. The same way someone who is sick, who needs healing, contends with the scripture over his health. That's the same way an entrepreneur should contend with scriptures over his business. But you see, we look at it that, this person is sick. He needs more attention. He needs more supernatural intervention. This one is business now. But you see, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Launch out. You know, my prayer and my desire is that at this time, God will open our eyes, open our hearts, you know, breathe upon us, inspire us on the things that he wants us to do. In the name of Jesus. You know, as pastors mentioned, by God's grace, next Sunday, we're going to get the supernatural touch to it. And subsequently, we're going to have a time out to take questions and answers. And I want us to prepare, you know, for this time. I want us to prepare. Whatever question you might have in your heart, whatever doubt you might have in your heart, you know, prepare. But most importantly, please, let's go over these messages. Let's reflect on them. Let's take them in. Let's allow the Holy Ghost to brood over our hearts. Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of anyone, the things that God has prepared for every one of us. The things that God has prepared for every one of us. The desire of God is that in this generation and generation after, men will be reading of our exploit of faith. You know, and that will be our realities. In the name of Jesus, please just bow down your head and just pray to God. Lord, I receive your inspiration, I receive your help, I receive your guidance at this time. In the name of Jesus.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center, The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,